surely beat its eyes. And as it fades, my ways confound the wise. I didn't say you'd never taste the bitter kiss of death, or have to walk through a chilly Jordan to enter into rest. But I did say I'd be waiting right on the other side. And I did say I'll dry every tear you cry. 'Cause you know I made a promise that I'd prepare the place, and someday sooner than you think you'll see me face to face. And you'll sing with the angels and the countless multitude. This is the promise, this is the promise I've made to
strong dreams. I've never fit with a popular crowd, and I've been told by some around me that this world's fun and I missed out. I don't spend my time chasing fortune, and I've never walked the halls of fame. I don't have a fancy education to put a title by my name, but I've been to Calvary, and I met the one who gave his life for me. I'm forgiven and I've been set free from this world of misery. I've been to Calvary. My Lord is such a sweet companion. He meets with me in my time of prayer. And when a storm sails my direction, a still small voice tells me he's there. I have joy when they say I shouldn't, and I have peace when it doesn't make sense.
heart's content when I have nothing, and persevere when I lost my strength. But I've been to Calvary,
and I met the one who gave his life for me. I'm forgiven and I've been set free from this world of misery.
Welcome to Calvary this morning. I want to give a warm welcome if the Holy Spirit hasn't already, and I hope He has. He has welcomed me this morning. So good to be here in the house of the Lord on this 4th of July Sunday. Happy 4th of July to you as well. And we want to welcome those that are watching by way of Facebook, and we don't ever take you for granted, and that's probably our biggest media outlet outreach to reach in the world is through Facebook. I reflected back on our pandemic when everybody was shut down and we were all in our homes. And I remember on one particular Sunday, it was just me and Christy here, Lily here, of course, Brother Randy in the back. I believe Brother David was on the piano. We had music and all for you. But I had 1,000 views that one morning. And so what a blessing Facebook is. But nonetheless, it can be a blessing or a curse, can't it? But so good to see you here with us. It's good to see the Palmers with us this morning. Dolores, Miss Dolores, Brother Leonard. And okay. Hey, there you go. Praise the Lord. Good. We praise the Lord. So good to see you guys. We love you. And on this side, it's good to see Miss Melissa with us this morning. And she has some company with her. It's so good to have you with us as well this morning. What a blessing it is to have folks come back to the house of the Lord that has been providentially hindered and things going on in their life like we all have. But so good having them this morning. So good to have the Rich is with us. Brother Don, Sister Carla, but also Miss Krista's with us this morning, and the kids, and a couple of them, three of them, well, the kids. Trying to keep up with so many kids around here, but so good having you guys with us here in just a few moments. Miss Krista, she's going to sing one before I preach, and but I think it's someone's birthday today over in this area. Miss Carla Rich. And so happy birthday to Miss Carla this morning. Yeah. Brother Don said you're his firecracker. So so we praise the Lord. We praise the Lord for that. What a blessing. Have your birthday on 4th of July. What a blessing. Let me say a couple things about this day today. Today we celebrate the anniversary of America being free from all other countries. In 1776, on 4th of July, our independence was declared in a document, the Declaration of Independence. Our relationship and constraints with Great Britain was severed. And I want to say that God blessed America on that day. And he has down through the ages of time. God certainly has blessed America, and we pray that he'll continue. It's the land of the free only because of God and the brave. I'm glad this morning and very proud to be an American, aren't you? Let me give you four facts this morning. I guess you could say fun facts, but Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, of course this wasn't fun to them, but Thomas Jefferson and John Adams both died on July 4th in 1826. Get this, 5 hours apart from one another. Jefferson was 82 and Adams was 90. And then there was another president that died on 4th of July, and that is the 12th president, Zachary Taylor. He died on July 4th, 1850. Listen to this. After eating bad fruit at a 4th of July event. Man, what a way to go. I'm telling you right now. What a way to go. It's estimated over 150 hot dogs will be eaten today. So that sounds like a good business to be in, the hot dog selling business. Especially on 4th of July. And then there will be some 1 billion fireworks lit tonight. Keep the fire department on speed dial. But let me mention a couple other things, and then we're going to pray. And Brother Don, he's going to lead the church in a congregational. And then we'll have Miss Krista come along. But let's remember Miss BJ in our prayers. She is getting ready for a knee replacement on July the 12th. And so remember Miss BJ in your prayers. Let's also remember Jeff and Sharon Hodges, the passing of his brother-in-law. And remember their family. Of course, Brother Larry Bennett, his brother Greg, went home to be with the Lord. Have y'all had a memorial for that yet? Or a celebration? When? South Carolina. So let's remember the Bennett family, Miss Helen and all. And so good to see the Sanveys with us. I know there were some complications this past week, and I think last week as well. And home from the hospital, in church, shocking us all as usual. Brother Ed, the Lord is seen clearly in you and you as well, Miss Marianne. We love you guys and praise the Lord for you and your faithfulness this morning. And let's continue to remember the Teagues. Miss Connie, she had her surgery. And her surgery went well. She's at home recovering. So if you're watching, Miss Connie, we love you. Praying for you and your family. No service tonight. Everybody is going to, from what I gather, is going to be outside watching fireworks. Or at least getting ready to light fireworks. Spending family time. And so we went ahead and called the service off for tonight. So remember that. I want to say this, next Sunday morning we're going to have a love offering. And this particular love offering is going to be for the purchase of a portable sound system. And we've been having a lot of last Sunday night fellowships of every month outside, and we've got great helps that always scrounges around to fix up the audio for us, to project sound out whenever we bring the devotion and play music. So it's going to be used for that, but also we have upcoming movie nights out on the lot, parking lot, and so we need it for that as well. And so if you would, just pray, ask the Lord how much to give concerning this this portable sound system. This is definitely going to be an asset to our church. It can be used for other things as well, vacation Bible school. That can get costly, and so therefore we're just throwing out a pitch to you concerning this area of ministry for the church. Portable sound system, something that we need. And then I want to say next Sunday night, it's going to be a big service here at Calvary, and we will be ordaining two deacons into the office of a deacon, Brother Brian Busby, Brother C.J. Martin, and we are looking forward to that service on next Sunday night. Of course, invite friends and family, and I know there's going to be a great deal of people here, and of course, Brother Snyder will be here, and others, and we both will be preaching in that service, and so remember that. Last thing, Camp Ivy is for our young people, and July 18th through the 23rd, our youth, and so if we have a youth that possibly wants to go, please contact Brother Brian, Miss Darlene. Me and Brian spoke about this not long ago, and I think I mentioned it maybe last week or the week before. And just great things happening at Calvary. Our young people, we are keeping busy, and we just thank the Lord for what He's done. Last thing, speaking of our young people, they just got back from a trip to North Carolina, and I've seen pictures, and these are great pictures, zip lining, rafting, doing all kinds of things, something that, well, that I probably wouldn't have done. I know for sure I wouldn't have zip-lined, rafting. If I was there, I probably wouldn't have let Lily go, so that's why I stayed home. I said, yes, you can zip-line. Yes, you can raft. Yes, you can do all that. I'm just not going to be there to watch it happen. And so thank you, leaders, for taking them. My goodness, what a blessing. Lily was ready to stay away. We thought she'd be ready to come home, but our kids just mean so much to us, and thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, well, let's pray this morning and ask the Lord to continue to bless the singing and the message, and we're just glad to be here. Are you glad you're here? Say amen. 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 Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. We are so very thankful, grateful, and blessed to be Americans, Lord. But Father, more than that, I am so grateful that I belong to another country, a heavenly country. I'm glad I'm a Christian this morning. I've been born again, washed in the blood. And for all of those this morning who have experienced the same thing, which are many, I know they also are celebrating a different kind of independence. We are free from the power of sin. One day we'll be free from the presence of sin. Lord, we're just so thankful that there is liberty in Jesus. If there's someone here this morning, somebody watching on Facebook that does not know you personally, I pray today will be the day of salvation for them. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. Be with all these requests. Be with the offering we're getting ready to take. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to have our ushers come forth at this time.
Reach out, touch all these that need healing. Heal their bodies and be your will. Give them the strength to go through the troubles and trials that they have to go through. And bless here, those that are watching, even those that are not touched somehow. Draw them to you. Lord, bless the offering this morning for the upbuilding of your kingdom. Lord, touch those who stand and bring the word that we can understand and learn more of you. For we ask all these things.
Amen. If you're in the Lord's army this morning, stand up. This song that we're going to sing, we don't have it in the green book, but I believe everybody ought to know it. The Battle Hymn of the Republic. And just very quickly, let me say, in Spanish, es el Dios de los ejércitos en quien yo confiaré. What it says, it's the God of heaven's armies in which I place my trust. So I love the way it's said in Spanish. We're going to sing the Battle Hymn of the Republic in A flat.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching.
Strong now.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Forth the trumpet that shall never sound retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant at my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. The sea with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free. While God is marching on, glory, glory, hallelujah.
What a blessing this morning. Pledge allegiance to the Lamb. And if you enjoyed the singing this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I don't know if I've ever sang God Bless America in church. I guess I have down through my church experience. But one thing for sure, I didn't remember the words. And so I took a little peek over Brother Don's shoulder and tried to do the best I could. But anyway, it is so good to be here this morning. We love you. We appreciate you attending. And we hope you get something from the Word. John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1. I want to begin reading in just a moment in verse number 43. John chapter number 1, verse number 43, down through verse 51. I do want to pause for just a moment and pray, and then we'll read. Lord Jesus, thank you for being the Lamb. You were so willing. The Father's plan to come and to have outstretched arms upon the cross of Calvary. Just an exhibit of love, unconditional love, hugging the whole world. And Lord, we're thankful that you arose from the grave 3 days later. We're thankful that there is an open invitation today to call upon the name of Jesus and be born again. And Father, I pray that if there's someone here who doesn't know you personally, today will be that day that they get saved. And for those of us who are already saved, I pray this morning that we may be encouraged from the truths we're about to share. Lord, all these things will be for your honor and your glory. We love you, we thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. John chapter number 1, verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That's reading John chapter number 1 this morning, verse number 43, down to verse number 51. The past couple Wednesday nights, minus this past Wednesday night, we've been talking about sharing Jesus with others. We talked about on one of those nights when Zacchaeus met Jesus. We kind of have been keeping things evangelistic in nature on Wednesday nights. Been trying to get stirred up and about soul winning. And I say that, and I probably shouldn't say it like that, because the flame and fire has not gone out for soul winning. But to just resurface the subject and talk about it is such a great thing. It does have a way of lighting our fires when it comes to talking about sharing Jesus with others and looking at some of these experiences in the Bible whose lives God changed. And so this morning I want to do the same thing. I want to continue that. And I want to look at Nathanael. And I want to talk to you for a few moments on this subject. When Nathanael met Jesus. When Nathanael met Jesus. This morning we all have our own personal testimonies and conversion experiences that from the time and day that we got saved, we could share. Those that are saved, you have your own experience. But I do want to say that if you're not saved, and you do not know that if you died, heaven will be your home, I pray today you will ask Jesus to come into your heart. And so there's actually two intentions with the message, as I said in my prayer, and that is to reach the lost this morning, but encourage the saved. And if we can accomplish those two things, I think it'd be time well spent in the Scriptures. Number one this morning, I want to look at the person used to reach Nathanael. Who did God use? Well, we know that God used Philip to reach this man, Nathanael, whose name also is Bartholomew. Look in verse number 44. Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael. As we read this account and as we read it in harmony with the other Gospels, you'll find exactly that. That after Jesus' baptism and he started his ministry, we know that he found Andrew, and Andrew findeth Peter, or Simon. And it goes on and on. The account is even in this chapter. If you go back and you read it later, you'll find it right here for the most part. But we know that Philip was the one who found Nathanael, meaning he was the one who spoke to him about the Lord. It was Philip who spoke to Nathanael about the Lord. It was Philip who took time with Nathanael. There was time invested in this. But let me just say something about this person, Philip, for a moment, whom God used to reach Nathanael. Most likely, Philip was a fisherman. We have a kind of reference in John 21, verse 2. We won't turn there, but we know after the resurrection, Jesus was on the shore, and Peter said, I go a-fishing. And the whole group went with him. And the Bible mentions there were other two disciples there. So possibly, and most likely, especially from the place that that Philip was from, the same city of Andrew and Peter, the small fishing village, he was most likely a fisherman. Someone with a common, ordinary job whom God used. And it goes without saying this morning, we know that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And I'm so very glad this morning that I didn't have to be born into a royal physical family to feel like I can do something in life. I'm glad that, you know, it doesn't have to do with great education or a personality that's very charismatic. Most of the time, my favorite place to be is at home, not talking to anybody. I mean, I'm not, you know, the Lord really, really had to change me when He saved me. Believe it or not, I'm a shy guy. I'm standing up here preaching this morning and people watching on Facebook, and it is a sobering thing, isn't it, Brother Don? It's a sobering thing. But you see, it's just something about how God visits people who do ordinary things, and He calls them to do extraordinary things. One person said it this way. They said that I need God's super on my natural. And that's true this morning. We need the Lord's super on our natural to experience the supernatural. Something else about Philip. Not only he was a fisherman, but Philip was a faithless man at one time. Turn over to John chapter number 6. I will have you turn there. John chapter number 6. We see that he was a faithless man one time. In verse 1 of John 6, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, listen to this, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? I want to stop for a moment and say something right here that really touched and changed my life. We have the Son of God asking Philip what to do. You know this is some kind of setup. When the Son of God, the one who knows everything, the one who is omniscient, he knows everything, asks, he turns to Philip and says, Philip, what are we going to do? He says, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Look at verse 6. And this he said to prove him. That word prove is the same word for test. And this he said to prove him or test him, for he himself knew what he would do. This morning I want to say that there are times in life that I think we could put ourselves in alignment with Philip. Meaning that Philip exhibited no faith here. Look what he says in verse number 7. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And so Philip was a man here who didn't show no faith, who really didn't have any faith, I guess, in the Lord Jesus in this particular setup. Jesus asked him, what are we going to do? And so I could see in my mind's eye, verse number 7, how Philip, he reaches in his pockets and he's, hold on, Lord, what are we going to do? How are we going to eat here? How are we going to feed everybody? Let me just check. Let me look. And then he reaches in and he just pulls out this amount of money, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. He's like, Lord, it's just not going to add up. Lord, I don't know what we're going to do. because of the funds that we have and the amount of people that we see, there is no way, no way that we can feed all these people. Sometimes in life, I think that although we may know the Lord, we may be born again, there are times in our life where we are at the intersection of struggle and at the intersection of problems, and we don't know what to do. I know me personally, there's times where something's going on in our life and I'm reaching in my pocket spiritually. I'm like, how's this going to work out? You know, and I just don't know what to do. I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know how God's going to supply this. I'm just, you know, spiritually, I'm digging in my pocket. And you know, the Lord has a way at times of testing us during those moments. During those intersections of life where faith and doubt meet. Well, we don't know how it's going to get done. We don't know how our loved one's going to be healed. I mean, yes, we believe in Jesus, but we've seen too much happen for there not to be any doubt. And so we're in a place of faith and doubt. And I believe that Philip was here. Although Philip was the person that was used to lead Nathanael to the Lord, Philip himself wasn't a perfect man. Philip himself struggled at times. There may be somebody here this morning that both hands are in your pocket. You've got family problems, don't know what to do. You've got financial problems, you don't know what to do. You have all of these problems and you're acting like you don't know what to do, because we all know that God is the one who's our sufficiency. Jesus is, and really I should say it this way, we act like we don't know what to do. So there may be someone here this morning or many here where your hands are in your pockets and Jesus has you at this crossroad because he is going to prove and test you. The Bible says in verse 6, for he himself knew what he would do. This morning, Jesus knows what he's going to do in your situation. The question is, what are you going to do with your situation? Are you going to continually keep both hands occupied in your pocket and rubbing your head in worry and crying, you're crying yourself to sleep at night, wetting your pillow? And listen, that happens to the best of us. There's been several times where my wife and I have cried ourselves to sleep, carrying burdens, and I know sometimes it takes time to deal with things. But I urge you, church, and I'm preaching it myself this morning, that during those times of uncertainty, lean on Jesus. Lean on him at those crossroads of confusion. Lean on him if you lose a job, and trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not upon or unto thine own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. I tell you, this natural mind will get us every time. You're in a situation in your life, and you're trying to make sense of it all, and you're trying to figure out what to do, and within your natural mind, you're like, okay, 1 + 1 = 2. But you see, sometimes, especially if you belong to the Lord, he has these equations that 1 + 1 = 2. And so the natural mind is actually enmity with God. And so we have to trust the Lord when things look bleak and things look grim. And it's not 1 + 1 = 2. We're not getting the problem solved. We must lean on him and allow him to direct us. We know this is a process. It doesn't happen when you first get saved. You don't carry that level of maturity, and so we all strive. The person used was a fisherman. The person used to reach Nathanael was a faithless man. I'm not saying that Philip was always faithless, but I'm glad this morning that we have a Bible here that records not only the maturity of God's people, women and men, but it also records the immaturity of God's people, women and men. Abraham was another, the father of faith. And listen, he went out and offered his son Isaac. But also in his life, you find out that He lied and said that his wife Sarah was his sister. All of these things. He was rebuked by a lost person. All kinds of things happen in life that we're not proud of. But God can still use you. The Lord, if he used Philip, this fisherman who was faithless at times, he can use you. Also, let me say about this person used. He was a single man. What I mean by that is he was one person. One person, Philip, findeth one person. God used one to reach one. With that said, I want to ask us all a question this morning. Between now and next Sunday, if everybody in this room just brought one person to church, that would double, wouldn't it? That would double our attendance. The question is, would we be a person that would reach one? Sometimes I know myself, on slender Sundays, we got a decent crowd this morning, looks great. Sometimes I look out in the crowd and I'm thinking, man, all these pews need to be filled. And if I'm not careful, I start to lose my focus, really, of how a church gets filled. You don't go out and, we're to go out and witness, but you don't go out and share Jesus with others, and then the very next Sunday, 100 people show up. It may happen. But I'll tell you what, there's been years where at different churches where we would go out and share the gospel and nobody would come. Nobody. And to be quite honest with you, a lot of independent fundamental Baptist churches today have lost their outreach, and I do not want that to happen to Calvary, because it's not about packing out Calvary. It's about reaching one person. One person. Each one, reach one. That's what it's about. Think about Andrew, Simon's brother. Simon wasn't the first to get saved. Andrew was. And when Andrew got saved, he found Peter. And on the day of Pentecost, he stood up and preached. And 3,000 souls got saved. And there was even more if you read the complete and ongoing story there in Acts. The very person you may witness to might be the next pastor, missionary, might be, listen, the next Sunday school teacher, deacon. We just don't know. Let us this morning not be caught up. Let me not be caught up in numbers. I'm aware that there's a book called The Book of Numbers. But you know, David got in trouble for numbering Israel, didn't he? When he was told not to. So doesn't that have any kind of bearing upon the ministry of the God's ministry he has us in? Where, what does it say? One or two gathered together, there in my name. There I am in the midst. Those are small numbers. And I want to say that this person used to share the gospel, to lead Nathanael to Jesus, was Philip. A fisherman, ordinary person. A person who wasn't perfect but faithless at times. And he was a single person. One person reached one, and we see the effects of all of that today. We are all here in church. We have those watching on Facebook, all, and not just all churches in the whole world, and missionaries and the multitudes of people are getting saved around the world. And it all started with these ordinary men. There's a second thing I want to mention. Not only the person used when Nathanael met Jesus, but then the problem encountered when Nathanael met Jesus. I want you to notice back in John 1. Let's reread verse 44, 45, and then verse 46. We'll find the problem encountered. Verse 44, John 1. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Look at verse 46. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? That's the proposed question that Nathanael had for Philip about the Lord. He said, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Now, I'll say this was an honest question. He was honest. Because Philip, or Nathanael, lived in a nearby town. In fact, Nathanael was from Cana of Galilee, which was nearer Nazareth. And he knew that there was a corruption and sinfulness there in Nazareth. So it was an honest question. It's kind of like us this morning asking ourselves, can any good thing come out of Atlanta? I go a step further. Can any good thing come out of Marietta? Can any good thing come out of Powder Springs? Can any good thing come out of Hiram, Douglasville? Can any good thing come out of Hiram High School? Can any good thing come out of South Cobb High School? Can any good thing come out of Osborne High School? And the answer to that question is yes, there can be some good things come out of those places when Jesus is involved. Amen. This morning, Jesus was on the heart and the mind of Nathanael because of Philip, and he asked, can there any good thing come out of this? If I could say it this way, and I'd like to ask another question, can any good come out of sin? Can any good come out of sin? I'm not trying to show no disrespect or irreverence to the Lord. And we know that he was the perfect man. And because of our sin, he died. But can any good thing come out of sin? Yes. Yes. I know some people that have been saved in Atlanta. I know some people that's been saved in these places that we mentioned. Of course, I got saved in Smyrna in an old gymnasium on a Tuesday, November 19th, 2002. I know you've heard it a million times, but it's my story. And that night, no church background at all. The only thing that I remember is my great aunt taking us to Bible school when I was growing up. I remember that. I have a cousin who used to pastor, and I remember when I was a little boy, he came over and I was in a little red rocking chair. I must have been 5 years old, 5 or 6 years old. And I can remember him telling me to repeat after me and my brother both. I know I'm a sinner, you know, things like that. I didn't remember everything he said, but I do remember him saying, repeat after me. And then I remember going to that church. It was a little church on Austell Road, Fellowship Community Church, something like that. And I remember getting baptized. I remember that. But you see, I was so young, I was pushed into that. But on November 19th, 2002, I knew my situation. I knew I wasn't saved. I knew I pleased somebody when I was younger. But on that special day, it was my day. It was the day the Lord had for me. And I can remember going to that office and my brother and I, and he closed the door, rock and roll music was playing. I remember that. And he had a Bible in his hand. He said, Justin, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? I said, yes. He said, do you believe he died and he was buried on the third day and rose again for you? I said, yes, I believe that. I said, can I get saved now? He said, well, do you want to pray after me or do you want to pray? I said, I want to pray. He said, all you got to do is just ask the Lord into your heart, ask him to forgive you of your sins, and be honest with him. Ask him to be your Lord and Savior, the King of your life, show you your purpose in life. I said, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner of this. I'm right at 20 years of being in. I said, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know you died for me. I've been living my life apart from you. I can almost remember word for word. At one particular part of that prayer, I said, Lord, I've got friends in the cemetery that died from drug overdose. In church, listen, I can remember times going to those funerals and having drugs on me while attending those funerals. I had friends during that time, and when I was praying that prayer and asking the Lord to save me, on my mind during that time, I was thinking about those friends in the cemetery, but also friends in prison. Had friends in prison. I can remember on one occasion I was in the basement. We're not getting too graphic. I'm not glorying in my past. Would never do that. But I can remember on one occasion I was in the basement of a friend's house. And we were up to no good doing drugs. It was on a Monday and I just sat there high as a kite. And I thought to myself, is this it? Is this my life? And I was so sad if that was the conclusion of my life. I mean, if that was it, I might as well be done with life. That's what I was thinking. Is this it? And I can remember days after that, again, going to the gym and then my brother witnessing to me and getting saved. I said all of those things to say this, that Jesus saves. He saves. And so this morning, there can be some good that comes out of your bad situation. Doesn't matter your origin. Doesn't matter where you're from, where you've been, what you've been going through. Doesn't matter if you haven't even been in church your whole life, don't know Jesus as your Savior. Let today be the day of salvation for you. Get saved today. Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in his heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you saved this morning? I hope you are. I hope you are. The problem encountered. Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Yes, the answer is. Let me mention something else. The person used when Nathanael met Jesus, the problem encountered when Nathanael met Jesus, but then the perception seen when Nathanael met Jesus. Look, if you would, in verse number 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile or deceit, or has sound character. Verse 48, Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Jesus knew some things about Nathanael. Isn't that great? You see, we didn't come to him. He came to us. He knew us. He knows us. And so the perception seen, we see the Lord's omniscience. He knows everything. Verse 47, notice this. He knew his heart. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. How did he know that? How did Jesus know that? It goes on in verse 48, Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? He struggled. How in the world did you know the kind of man I am? The kind of pedigree I have? Lord, how did you know? You see, this morning, God knows it all. He knows your heart. Whether you're saved or not, Jesus knows. If you're in church this morning and your heart's right with God, he knows. But if you're in church this morning and your heart is not right with God, he knows about it. Might as well call it for like it is and like it is and ask God to forgive you. So he knew his heart in verse 47. He said, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there's no guile, no deceit. He knew about his character. And so he knew his heart, but then in verse 48, he knew his location. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. He knew his location. Now, under those fig trees, a lot of commentators and history says that, you know, it'd be a good time, a good place for a siesta. It'd be a good place to study, you know, God's words. It'd be a good place for some leisure, a good place to be at. If you just want to be by yourself and ponder and meditate under those fig trees. And so that's where Nathanael was, and Jesus saw him. He says, Before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. Jesus saw him there. He knew his heart. This morning, God knows your location. He knows you're at Calvary this morning. But more than that, He knows your heart. He knows what's on the inside this morning. This past week, if you've had sorrowful times, He has bottled all of your tears. Talked about crying this past Wednesday. He has bottled all your tears. Jesus even wept. If you've had crying locations this past week, if you've had sinful locations this past week, guess what? You weren't alone. He was there. And yet He loves us tenderly. The Lord cares. He knew His heart. He knew His location. You remember Zacchaeus? Wee little man? Zacchaeus, the Bible says, was little in stature. Now, I said this Wednesday night. I don't know. I just don't know. There's such a thing as called achondroplasia. It's the physical stature of a little person. You know, there's little people. I'm not talking about kids. I'm talking about grown adults. There's little people. Achondroplasia. They don't grow as tall as we do. And I'm not saying that was Zacchaeus. That's just interesting to think about it. I don't know. But he was little in stature. You know what the scriptures say in Matthew 6 about stature? No man can add one cubic to his stature. And Zacchaeus was trying to see Jesus. But not only was he little in stature, but the crowd prohibited him from seeing Jesus. This was a barrier between Zacchaeus and Jesus. But he didn't stay out there trying to see him being little in a crowd. He broke that barrier. He went and climbed a sycamore tree. And when he was in that tree, Jesus saw him. Jesus saw him. There may be some barriers this morning in your life that is prohibiting you to further your relationship with Jesus. What I say, don't accept the barriers, but break the barriers this morning. Break the barriers. Don't allow a person, a place, a thing to hinder you with your walk with the Lord. If it's drugs, flush the drugs down the toilet. If it's alcohol, sober up. Jesus can make that happen. If it's women, listen, handle yourself the way the Bible says. Job says, I will make a pact with my eyes and I'll not look upon a woman in lust. Whatever it is keeping you behind the barrier, break the barrier. Break the barrier. Jesus recognized that Zacchaeus was in that tree. And to my knowledge, he didn't even recognize anybody in the whole crowd. Jesus sees our faith this morning. The perception seen, Jesus knew his heart, knew his location. One more thing and we'll be through. Then the profession given. Again, talking about when Nathanael met Jesus. Verse 49. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, Thou art the Son of God. Capital S there. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. In other words, that was just a start, Nathaniel, what I'm going to show you in your life. Me pointing you out in that tree, you coming to faith in me, that's just the very start of it. Verse 51, And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. This morning we have the profession given. The profession given. Nathaniel professed in the flow of these texts and the experience that he had, and by following the Lord, his profession of Jesus. He says, Thou art the Son of God. In verse number 49, he professed him as the Son of God and the King of Israel. This morning, Nathaniel met the Lord. He used a person to make the connection. There was a problem with Nathaniel's thinking, although it was an honest question. Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Jesus saw him. He perceived. It was a perception. And then his profession. Nathaniel got saved. What about you this morning? Do you know that you know that you know that heaven will be your home when you die? We know there's a lot of belief isms in the day and time which we live, which really has always been. Many people try to add good works so that they may think they have eternal life. Good works won't get you there. By grace, through faith, it is the gift given. All you have to do is receive it. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you this morning for who you are, for what you do. God, I pray that you'll just take the words that I said. Lord, I'm not a perfect man, but just want to be used by you. I pray that if someone needs to be saved, the message was clear. I pray if there was a discouraged Christian, the message was clear. Move in this invitation in every case, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.